Garchish, hawa, tuksk nusum, salama, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Today, it's the Borough Breakdown, our new feature with the CBJ. Today's focus is on the city's Recycle Works and Solid Waste Processing Programs, how it all works, and what you need to know. The Juno Chamber of Commerce, Becca Parks, is here, along with Chelsea Flint from Greens Creek. We chat with them both and find out what's coming up. And we take a closer look at the Juno School District Thlinkit Culture Language and Literacy Program by way of a few students sharing their experience. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Well, it's official. We broke the overall season record for snowfall in Juno. For a few weeks there, it was quite the pickle for city services. But how do things actually work, and what do we need to know to help us understand? Well, today on our regular segment, the Borough Breakdown, we welcome Denise Koch, who's the Director of Engineering and Public Works at CBJ. I also have Stuart Ashton, Recycle Works Operation Manager for CBJ, and Phil Hibshin here for his regular work from the Communications Department at the CBJ. Gunath Cheesh, welcome in to you all. Wasiati, how are you today, Denise?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having us.
Excellent. Stuart, how are you today?
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. And wasiati to you, Phil. What's going on?
Not much. Just hanging out. Doing well.
Awesome. Well, I love it. This is one of our newer features here, the Borough Breakdown, where we're learning all about the sort of what goes on in the city behind the scenes. We've been talking about the budget. We've been talking about all kinds of things going on. And this one's really fun today because I think we all deal with this in some way, shape, or form in our personal lives and probably our professional lives too. So it's solid waste processing as well as Recycle Works. I want to start with you, Denise. You're the director of the Engineering and Public Works Department. I'm really curious. I don't even know. What is solid waste processing? What is solid waste and how does that work?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question. We're pretty passionate about this topic. We even came with our team trash mugs. Because this issue is really important, but it's largely invisible. So I appreciate the opportunity to make the invisible visible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start a little bit by talking about kind of the big picture. And then for the Recycle Works piece, I'll hand it over to Stuart
Absolutely.
Ashton, who has years and years of expertise in running Recycle Works. But I want to start kind of big picture.
Yeah.
So when you talk about municipal solid waste, the big item to remember is that most of municipal solid waste winds up as garbage, and it winds up in the landfill. That's where the vast majority of the tonnage winds up. However, there are different waste streams that get diverted into things like household hazardous waste, junk vehicles, or Recycle Works, which Stuart will talk a little bit more about. But one of the things I also want to mention to the listeners that I think is unique in Juno is how we handle trash in this community. Mm. It's atypical. So in most communities, the local government has a more active role in waste management. In Juneau, once again, since most of the garbage winds up going to the landfill, that waste hauling and that waste disposal is completely in private hands. So Alaska Waste handles waste hauling, and WM, or Waste Management, owns the local landfill. And the reason I mention that is a lot of times, since we're, you know, especially if someone moves to this community from somewhere else, maybe they're used to their local government being their waste hauler or owning the landfill. We'll often get contacts from residents, you know, if the garbage truck, you know, didn't pick up your curbside garbage this week, or if you have questions or comments about landfill hours or landfill rates, or, you know, the paperwork associated with taking disposing of a particular waste stream.
That's not you.
That is not us. That is all in private. That's all in private hands.
So the cans that we put out every week, mm-hmm. whether it's trash or recycling, those are all from a different company.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's all in private hands. And I do want to mention, and we could get back to this if we have time after Stuart talks mm-hmm. about recycling, is that there has been a lot of discussion at the assembly level thinking about how this community will handle our trash after the landfill eventually fills up at some point in time.
I don't think that conversation's been had at all. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone has an opinion on that, I'm sure.
Lots and lots of opinions on that. But right now, in terms of the programs that CBJ is involved in related to waste, it's really limited to the Recycle Works program with that household hazardous waste, junk vehicle, and recycling program.
So if let's say, when you say household hazardous waste, what is that? What is that? What is that comprised of?
So if you think about you have solvents, or you have paint, or those sorts of things.
Okay.
That's if you, it's very close to where you bring, if you're bringing your recycling to the recycling center, mm-hmm. you may also see there's that lane that you could drive through on Saturday as a resident, and you can drop off your household hazardous waste.
I see. Okay.
There.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your role as the director? What is it that you do? I'm just curious about that.
So I'm really thinking more about policy. So in terms of the division of labor between Stuart and I, Stuart is really deeply operational, and he's deeply involved with the contracts for those contracts that CBJ has with the private sector to provide those household hazardous waste or junk vehicle or recycling services. Some of the things that I really think about is what does the next chapter of Juneau's waste future look like at some point when the landfill fills up? Mm-hmm. We need to think about that and have those discussions both in the community and with the assembly well in advance of a landfill closure, because it takes a lot of planning and thinking about the steps you want to take.
How close is the landfill to being full?
Well, that is a perennial question. It will give you our best estimate. The reason that we don't have a precise answer for it comes back to the waste hauling and disposal is not, we don't own it, we don't operate it, we don't regulate it. So that means that we don't, there aren't requirements to divulge pieces of information to CBJ. But our best estimate is we think the landfill will fill up in maybe 10-ish years. And as a result of some of the discussions that we've been having with the assembly recently established a goal under one of they have different categories for goals. They have a sustainability section, and they really want to start talking about designing a transfer station, which is kind of the future of how a community takes care of waste. It's a central facility where you could receive traditional garbage, but also recycling, household hazardous waste, you know, thinking about the future once the landfill is
filled. That's cool. So you're kind of like a city planner for solid waste in some ways.
In some ways, yeah. I am. It's definitely a team effort, but it's something that we just want to be proactive about, and we just want to make sure that the community is making decisions and not just getting surprised
at the last minute. Okay. So, Stuart, let's talk to you because I know that RecycleWorks is has been in the news a lot recently, right? It was closed down for a little bit. Tell me about that whole difficulty that we had in December, January, and what you were all thinking behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing was the snow apocalypse.
That was pretty bad.
That was the first one. Our contractor, WM, let us know. They said we can't keep up with the stuff. Can we hold off? And that made sense since a lot of the city services were starting to hold back to deal with that. And during that time, we knew that there was going to be a lot of buildup. A lot of people bring in regular stuff between Alaska Waste's co-mingle program. That material comes through our facility, even though that is a completely separate thing. It's not city. It's separate.
So just again, like my recycling bin that I have at my house is not processed, is given to RecycleWorks, but the collection and the transport of it is done by Alaska Waste.
Yes, and the actual processing of that is done by Waste Management, our contractor.
I see.
Is that our contract is written. The whole purpose of having the recycling baler in that facility is to increase recycling, to increase diversion from the landfill, to make it last longer.
Okay.
And so when we first started this many years ago, we wrote in there to give them the opportunity to be able to take other material outside of just the city's drop-off stuff. Hence why it's all thought of. All goes through one place, even though it's a bunch of different fingers in there.
Okay.
And then, as soon as we cleared up snow, started firing up the machine again, and that cold weather and then the real humid, there was a lot of rain going in there, and just the up and down really broke the camel's back.
Mm.
Our machine had been limping along for a while, and we had a lot of stuff planned for this spring to do some shutdowns and mitigate some stuff, but it wasn't going to hang on any longer, and it broke down.
Mm.
And basically what that was the tie machine. So this big baler, $500,000 piece of machinery that just compacts all of your trash, recycling, well, not trash, but recycling material, compacts it down into a little 3x3x4 foot cube. You got to keep it together, and that is nice thick wire that goes around the bale and ties it.
And that had to be replaced?
Yep. Now, the track system had to be replaced. The actual mechanism that makes it go around and everything was fine. It was the actual track. So literally just a little pieces of metal, no, thick pieces of metal with little channels, and the wire rallies through it really, really fast to make a bale.
Mm-hmm.
But with our contractor, WM, they've had quite a bit of turnover, staff turnover, and the maintenance of that machine was not being done. And we all found out how quickly that deteriorates. We have regular inspections, and our fleet department maintains a lot of that machine, and they'd given us heads up, and hence we were actually planning on doing a teardown here after the winter. Because we knew, we were like, you know, it's probably time to start getting this stuff back up and running a little better and smoother, and wish we would have planned for in the fall to skip the whole thing. But it also bring attention to what actually happens there and how quickly that facility can break down. Even though the recycling center only diverts roughly 7% of Juneau's waste from the landfill, and that's collectively, that's roughly what it is, it can fill up in a week. And so if things aren't running smooth, if AML's containers aren't there on time, we're running very, very thin margins everywhere our contractor is.
That brings up a good question. I'm just curious about the myth, one of the myths is like, the recycling doesn't go anywhere. It's just getting put in the landfill anyway. So you just mentioned AML and all that. Can you describe the process just so people can understand, like, what happens? I bring my stuff. If I don't have a can, right, I take my stuff on a Saturday. I come over. I drop it off at the recycling center. Then what happens?
It gets put into the sections. And then the equipment operator, with his little loader over there in his bucket, puts it into the baler. And then after that bale is full, stacks it up. And then when there's enough containers, gets put into a container, gets brought through town, goes down onto a barge, spends 5-6 days on the barge, and gets put on, taken off into a yard, and then put on a rail system to go down to Northern Oregon, JMK Recycling. That's the facility that actually handles all of our material. And then each of those bales get busted open on huge conveyor belts with 20, 30 people on both sides of it, and they pick out the material. So even our source-separated drop-off from the city side, that stuff is actually sorted again down when it gets to the spot.
Oh, wow.
To make sure it gets to the right thing.
So it's barged down to Seattle and then trucked down to Oregon.
Yep. Trucker, okay. Yeah, trucker rail, depending on the material and those
I
contracts.
See.
But yeah.
So as a consumer, as a waste producer, a recycling producer of stuff, mm-hmm. what are the best tips for me when I'm bringing stuff to the recycle center? What should I know?
Cardboard and paper matter. And it's the bulk. It's 80% of, or it's actually 94 to 95% of their material that is recycled. That is
oh, wow.
the bulk stuff. Mm. That's what takes up the most space. It'll actually reduce your garbage bill. Many, many businesses over the years, actually, we just had to do a big restructuring because we're getting 30 to 50 businesses coming through, dropping their material off, not
oh, wow.
using the general garbage service, just because as anyone put aside your cardboard and your paper alone, and you probably make one bin a month in garbage. I've heard a lot of people talk
yeah,
about
the
separation.
Sure. And there yeah. is the difference in that stuff, right? There's the mm-hmm. corrugated cardboard. There's the like cereal box cardboard, right? Those are a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mixed paper is what we call. We used to have different segregation spots with the newspapers and the number one of this, number of that. And we ended up boiling it down over the years to the most simplest thing that didn't change. Because right now, like plastics, it's moving and morphing, and there's no regulation on the entire at all how that is. And so
right.
whether it's number one, number two, number three. Right now, we've had a lot of people that that want us to do number fives because that's actually turning a profit right now. And we were getting ready to pull the trigger, and then it switched the other way, and now it's the most expensive one to actually recycle. And so
oh,
there's
wow.
a lot of up and downs. Mm-hmm. We used to get $220 per ton for cardboard. That's what every ton we shipped out, that would help offset our shipping costs. Now
right.
we're getting $35.
Oh, wow.
So it's just
big,
a moving. So
yeah.
we went down to the basics that we knew, and number
okay.
one and number two plastics actually get recycled. If it's not that, it doesn't.
Okay.
Flat
that's
out,
good to
doesn't.
Know. One and film, twos are
yep.
the ones.
If it's a filmy one or anything like that, it does not get recycled no matter what anyone says.
Okay. And then let me ask you this question. There's two more I got for you.
Yeah.
Pizza boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, the thing is, if it's greasy, we're not supposed to recycle it?
I would prefer not to, mostly for the sake of our machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything like that.
But if it's but if it's pretty clean overall, we can still recycle that particular cardboard.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then the other thing is that I know in our bins we can't put glass, right? Which is a big one, because there's a lot of glass out there. But
yeah.
does glass make it onto the barge somehow? There's a spot at the recycling center we can bring glass.
Correct. Yeah.
yeah.
Luckily, one of those misconceptions is that glass is the best reused material that Juno has outside of probably composting.
Mm.
It is actually, if it's brought there, again, not in your bins, not
right.
in the commingled
bins.
That goes through our machine and it tears it up. But if you're actually bringing glass bottles to the recycling center, that material is trucked up on top of the landfill and it's run over and they use it as fill or for different type of pea gravel replacement. And so it's actually getting reused on the landfill for road building when they're changing things, but operationally they use it in lieu of fill that they have to buy and purchase. And
wow.
So that is actually the best material that Juno actually has right now for reuse / recycle.
Okay. Is there any last like big tip that you want to give to folks when they're thinking about recycling?
Don't stress yourself too much. When it really comes down to it is the diversion rates that we're looking at that we can currently do through this facility or depending on what happens in the near future with the we as a community decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to build a new landfill? Are we going to do a transfer station and ship waste down south? Are we going to send it to Anchorage? Of all the options, what we're doing with our recycling here is creating the avenues and keeping them going so that when we actually do have to start paying for this collectively instead of individually, we make the right decisions. And so people that are recycling, they're keeping it going by keeping it in the forefront of people's minds, and the schools are doing it, the parents are passing it on. So just do your best, but really do not stress about it, because the place that we send our material in a year, they will do what we send out in a year in a weekend.
Wow.
So we are a very, very small amount when it really comes to the grand scheme of things in a landfill, even with the landfill here. And so, like I said, my best one is don't stress too much. Do your best.
Do your best to recycle, right?
Yeah.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, that old phrase. Denise, is there any last words you have for overall in terms of solid waste?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention that if you want to learn more about all the solid waste sort of planning, the big picture discussions that we've been having, if you just Google CBJ plus solid waste, it's the first item that link will show up. It's our solid waste planning page. If you are particularly interested in learning just about RecycleWorks, and that's a little bit more tactical in terms of what are the hours of operation and those sorts of things, same thing. I think the easiest thing to do is just go into your search engine, say CBJ plus recycle, and RecycleWorks will pop up. On the first page that I just mentioned about CBJ solid waste planning, there is a place where you can sign up. If you're interested in really learning more about waste, you could sign up. And anytime we send out an email, it would go out. We essentially have an email group that we send information to. And mainly I just wanted to say we're really, really happy that RecycleWorks is operating again. We know that that was really missed by the community when it wasn't working. And also just want to keep in people's minds that that's a really important piece, but it's a piece of a bigger waste picture. So
absolutely,
we're just going to continue having that broader waste conversation as well.
Yeah, it was that phrase, you don't know what you missed until it's gone. Right? and Phil, any last words from the communications office? Anything that you want us to know about?
I think I would also just mention that waste processing and RecycleWorks and everything is housed under engineering and public works at CBJ, which we are about to enter the time of budget conversations in April. That's when the assembly is reviewing the manager's draft budget and making those sorts of deliberations. So if the listening public visits these websites and reads more and wants to learn more about how all this works, please do that. And then the assembly listening session specifically on the budget is on April 15th. So that's a wonderful opportunity to talk about how you want to see the city spend its money. And if you want to focus more on waste management, that's a valid thing to voice to the assembly. So April 15th is definitely a date to keep in mind.
Yeah. Phil Hibshin, Stuart Ashton, Denise Koch, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
This is going to be now. We're going to listen to Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Akwan and Beyond. Cassie Lumba is a senior at Juno Douglas High School, Yada'akathle, and early this month, she won Alaska's Poetry Out Loud competition. She says performing her favorite poems has taught her what it means to open up and how powerful words can be. Lumba will travel to D.C., Washington, D.C., that is, next month to compete nationally. She says she's excited to hear some good poetry.
Honestly, in my mind, I don't have any huge feelings about winning. I am not extremely competitive. I'm not in it to win it, per se. I'm in it to feel it, I think is what I'd say. I'm Cassie Lumba. I'm a senior in high school over at Juno Douglas, Yada'akathle, and I am the Alaska State Champion for Poetry Out Loud. I've always loved reading poetry and sometimes writing it, but when I was a freshman over at Thunder Mountain, they had this program, Poetry Out Loud, and so all the English classes had to choose a poem, every student had to choose a poem that was at least 15 lines. And if you wanted to, you could present that in front of the school in a school competition. So that's initially where I really started reciting poetry. I thought it was very interesting. And of course, I was nervous because I hadn't really had much public speaking experience. So I was very scared. But after having practiced it in front of the class, I realized that it wasn't that bad, that there was this sort of thrill that came with sharing that piece of myself in front of everyone. For me, poetry is a way to express yourself without feeling this pressure to conform to a certain type of writing, without feeling like you have to have a certain amount of paragraphs or this certain structure. poetry in itself doesn't need structure to be poetry. So seeing something that was so universal while also being something personal to everybody reading it was very eye-opening. My favorite poem is actually the one that I did for my third round, which is O Me, O Life by Walt Whitman. O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself. For who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light, of the objects mean, of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all, of the plodding and sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years of the rest, with the rest me intertwined, the question, O me, so sad, recurring, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. Of all the things even happening right now, things are so daunting and seemingly dreary. And there are points in life where you question it. You know, you question why we are doing what we are doing, why, despite everything going on around us, we continue with our lives, how tiring it is. And then the end of that poem says, answer that you are here, that life exists and identity. So that really is just the answer. We are here. We are ourselves, and we get to share a piece of ourselves in this small life. So maybe that really is just the meaning. And I think that's connected to me so much because there have been many points in my life where I've gone through such hardship and I didn't know whether or not I could continue in the sense of repetitiveness or the mundane and tedious tasks of life without feeling such sadness, because there's so much weight in doing those things, you know? But then hearing him say, for there really is just one answer, that we are here and this is all we can do, but to make the best of that.
That was Alaska State Poetry Out Loud champion right here from Juneau, Cassie Lumba. You can view the entire Poetry Out Loud state competition on demand on KTO's YouTube, Roku, and Apple TV apps. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. I'm joined now in the studio by Becca Parks, Executive Director of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, for our regular check-in, and she has brought a special guest today. Gunathchish, Becca, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And will you introduce our guest?
I will happily introduce our guest. I'm proud to be joined by Chelsea Flint, one of our board members and representative from Hecla Greens Creek Mine. And Chelsea's a new board member this year. So I'm glad she's here and can talk a little bit about, she comes from a long line of chamber board members and presidents. So we have big plans for her on the board.
You're like a legacy. What do they call that in college where you get voted in because you're a legacy, right?
Yep. Legacy member, yeah. Legacy.
So yeah, she would have been voted in anyway, but
My father, Ron Flint, he owns the Nuglaskan Outfitters. He was a prior chamber board member and president, and then his father started the Nugget Department Store, and he was a former chamber board member and president as well. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is a long lineage. So tell me just real quick, Chelsea, what do you do out at Hecla Greens Creek?
Yeah. So my job is the community relations specialist. So this is kind of my job right here.
It's in your wheelhouse.
It's to communicate with the public and basically let the public know what's going on at the mine site, listen to some concerns from citizens, anything like that, and make sure that we're being a good neighbor out there. So
I see. Yep. Now, do you go out there?
I used to work in the HR department for about 3 years. So I used to go out Monday through Thursday every morning, 5 a.m, come back at 6:30 at night every night. So now I'm more obviously within the community here at the town. So I have a town-based office.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Okay, so what are we talking about this month, Becca?
Well, I mean, I'd love to give you just the general updates. We have a good lineup of events. Our regular schedule of luncheons, which really are meant to be a core to our member services, so an opportunity for members, but also open to non-members to come out and learn what's going on, use it as a chance to connect with other business leaders, business owners throughout the week. And they are just jam-packed this month and next. So tomorrow, we already talked about, we've got Alaska Frontier Media, Cliff Dumas coming out. He's going to talk about some updates to the radio station, but then also share a very cool new marketing opportunity that they have with some, I'm trying to remember the name of it now, but it's like geographic specific. So it targets folks by location. So as they're coming up on the cruise ships, you can market to people as they come through different ports in town.
Oh,
so
that's cool. Some new technology there. That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think it's really exciting. I was talking to Jason over there yesterday, and he was just saying he's gotten this crazy crash course in AI, and they're really trying to push the envelope on what they're doing. So
absolutely. That's cool. Congratulations to Clef.
Yeah. And then after that, we have, now you've got me.
I've stumped you.
My brain just stops working.
That's why there's an awesome calendar available on JunoChamber.com, which shows you everything that's coming up.
And available on my phone in front of me. So as we bounce forward into April, we have, we're bringing back our quarterly networking events, so after hours. So instead of bringing you out during the lunch hour, we are partnering with the Downtown Business Association to get ready for our visitor season and our first ship.
Can you believe it's coming soon?
Oh, yeah. There's too much snow to think about cruise ships.
Like, we're going to go right from winter right into tourism. It's kind of wild.
But we're Clinkett and Haida is hosting us at On Hit, so right downtown on April 1st. This is a members-only event, but if you're a member of either the Chamber or the DBA, we want you to come down, join us. President Peterson will be there to welcome everybody in. The shop in On Hit will be open, and we've got some donated drinks from Alaska Brewing and food from Smokehouse Catering.
And if you haven't been to On Hit, it's a fantastic location. It's really fun. They do a lot of stuff upstairs with art, and then there's all kinds of things available downstairs. They even have Sacred Grounds is in there, a location of Sacred Grounds. You can get some coffee. Like, it's really cool over there.
Yeah, and the art exhibit that they have in there right now, there are just some pieces that are absolutely amazing. So I do hope folks come out to check it out.
Really cool. So that's next Wednesday, April 1st from 4:30 to 6.
Yes. And there's also an event earlier that day. We're going to do a ribbon cutting at Juno Woolies. So if you haven't been up and down Seward Street in a while, there is a brand new storefront, hand-dyed yarn. Tess Ramseth has been doing this for a while, but just opened up her storefront, and the yarn is beautiful. I just knitted my first scarf.
Oh, wow.
And so I highly recommend folks go and check it out. She is open now, but we're going to do an official ribbon cutting at noon on April 1st. And then I think she's got a First Friday event planned
for that
Friday, too.
Oh, that's so cool. That's excellent. That's really cool. It's nice to have a yarn store in general.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good fill in the gap from Joanne's.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because I know that I think one of our reporters just did a story on somebody who started like a private club.
I saw that.
Because of Joanne's. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So people are finding ways to deal without the big box store, which is great.
Yeah, and she does have other resources in there. She has Chilcat Warp, but then also just some other little kits. So some felting kits and stuff to get you started on fun projects.
Excellent. And I know you have a big event coming up, and I'm wondering if Chelsea's going to tell me about that.
Yeah. So one of our signature events for the Chamber, we've got the Spirits of Alaska event happening on April 25th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. up at the Gold Belt Tram. Tickets are on sale now on the Juno Chamber website, $75 a person. We're pretty excited. I co-chair the events committee for the Chamber with my fellow board member, John Blasco. He's the CEO of the Anchorage Distillery based out here in Juno. But he's gotten us 9 different distilleries from across the state of Alaska to come to the event and do some pouring this go-around. So we're pretty excited about that event.
And this is where you ride up the tram and then you go up to the top there and you Have some beverages?
Yep. So the tram is fully reserved for us that night. So we've got the whole place to ourselves. We've got lots of different, a bucket raffle. We've got a silent raffle. And then we've also got all sorts of drinks, obviously, and then food and music. It's a really good time.
Okay, hold on. What's a bucket raffle?
So the bucket raffle is kind of a fun thing. I was just involved with it for the first time last year, so I'm sure Becca can help explain it a little bit better than me, too. But basically what you do is you pay a dollar amount for a set number of tickets that come in an envelope, and you get those tickets for out of the envelope, and there's basically a big 5-gallon bucket set out. All of them have the names of these different excursions and these different bucket list items that we have, and you can drop your selected number of tickets in each of the bucket for a better chance to win either one item or the other, that sort of thing.
I see. Okay. So like whale watching tours, all that kind
of
stuff?
Yeah. We've got some great confirmed bucket raffle items already. A couple of our committee members on the events committee have been great going out and getting some awesome donations from businesses in town. Coastal Helicopters has given us a 9-mile heli drop. We've got 2 round trip tickets from Alaska Seaplanes. We've got a Norris Glacier pack raft trip for two from the Above and Beyond Alaska folks. We've got a whale watch safari for two from Gastineau Guiding, and even more than that, we've got some great donations from some of our local tourism operations here in Juneau.
Wow, that's a great list.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And it says music. You got a DJ or a band or what's going on?
Yeah, the music will kind of be in the background.
I see.
Tends to be a pretty loud networking event, and
right. So you don't have like a singer songwriter up there. Anybody just sitting there on a guitar, or you could have somebody on a guitar. They're just not going to be front and center. There's my background. Yeah.
Right.
See. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think the way we're billing it is sort of for people that love Brewfest. This is like Brewfest, but it's cocktails.
Right. Yeah, because it's distilled. So let me see if I can figure out who's in this list here. Amalga, Anchorage Distillery, Skagway Spirits, Port Chilkoot. Fairbanks. Wow, Fairbanks is represented. Uncharted Alaska. Where are they from? Where's Uncharted Alaska from? That's an interesting one. Denali Spirits, also from Talkeetna, and Alaska Distilling Co. And also Hoarfrost Distilling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good list.
Yeah.
So,
because I have to say, I don't like beer.
Yeah.
I've never been to Beer Fest.
Yeah.
But this sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. So this is the event for you. That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like it is. And also, I like how you have on your flyer here, generous pourings.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we don't really have much Uber in this town, but have a DD, right?
Yes.
Have a designated driver, because you can get back down the tram, but then you got to get home.
Yep. Please
so make sure you have a designated driver for your ticket. So, and this is open to the public.
Yes. And let me tell you, tickets are easy to get. You just go to junochamber.com. There is a link right on the homepage there. And it should be easy. If not, you can always reach out to us, but, just go in and buy. And then those bucket raffles are going to be a great way to prep for visitors this summer, prep for a really great time once all the snow melts.
That's really cool. It's so exciting to know that, the winter is almost done. It feels like, I think there's more snow predicted, but I know,
I hope not.
But this is a great way to sort of bridge the gap between, this happens almost right around the time of the first ship, right? So it's sort of like a way to sell it. And Folk Fest is that same thing. It's like the last celebrations before we get into the summer tourism, all the way downtown and everywhere else and around. But tourism is what makes Juneau go round in some ways, and so it's an important part of the economy.
Yep.
As is the Juneau Chamber and Hecla Greens Creek. Really nice to have you both here today. Is there anything else that we need to mention, Becca?
No, I mean, I'd say the same thing. If folks are just curious about the Chamber and what we're up to, our website is a great place to check out resources, how to become a member, and see our advocacy priorities for this year.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today. It's so fun to talk to you both.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Gwyneth Cheesh. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTO. We'll be right back with the TCLL program, the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. As the climate warms and hurricanes get more intense, some scientists say we need a new Category 6 rating for the strongest, most dangerous storms. Hurricane categories are based on wind speed, and any storm with winds of 157 miles per hour or more is a Category 5. But E.E. Lin, an atmospheric scientist at the National Taiwan University, says storms with winds above 184 miles per hour deserve their own category. That includes storms like Typhoon Haiyan, which hit the Philippines in 2013, killing thousands.
It was catastrophic to Philippines.
Lin's research shows that Category 6 storms have become more common in the past decade, and she says they can be much more destructive than Category 5 storms, which are already extremely dangerous.
If you compare a regular Category 5 versus a Category 6 like Haiyan, you can have destructive potential doubling.
Hurricane categories do not take into account rainfall or storm surge, which can also cause damage. But Lin says a new Category 6 would better convey the growing danger of powerful hurricanes as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha an ka gun chish.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtak U, Bill Fawcett. And the word this week is nach.
Nach.
That means octopus. And here is a sentence.
Da suani da nach.
What are you baiting with? Oh, it's an octopus. Let's hear it again.
No.
Octopus. Gunas Chish to Khane Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtak O'ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Ok Kwan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Early this month, we spoke with a collection of the optional programs available through the Juno School District. Today, we dive a bit deeper into one of those programs, the Tlingit Culture Language and Literacy Program. We have some students joining us today to speak about their experience. And in the back, we also welcome back Renee Drummond. Gunath Chish, Ha'iyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here today. Gunath Chish. Yeah, welcome in. Okay, so I'm going to have you each introduce yourselves. Let's start over here on the left.
I had Shangu Kedi Yadek Hatziti.
Suk, you had Dosak, Duck Tentum, I had Deshitan Yadi.
Okay.
We just did like Dosak, Kagwantan City, Elena Hyatt Lake Kakinach.
Okay, Elena and Wasiti, how are you today? Are you good?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And what is your name?
Ty.
Ty, okay. And Wasiti, how are you today?
I'm good.
Okay, great. Yake, right? Yeah. And what is your first name?
Adea.
Adea, okay. And Wasiti, how are you?
Good. Nervous.
Nervous, it's okay. Yeah, of course. It's tough to be on the radio sometimes, especially speaking the language. But this is such a great program. And you are all going into what is one of the newer years of the program, the eighth grade. You're all going to be eighth graders next year?
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's so awesome. So tell me, what is, like, so far, what is your the most awesome thing that you've done? What's your favorite project that you've done at TCLL so far? Let's start with you, Tay.
Tay.
Tie.
My favorite project we've done is feathers, beaks, and feet.
What is that?
We were researching birds.
Researching birds. Okay, and what did you learn?
I learned that ducks have webbed feet.
You learned that ducks have webbed feet. Okay, I like that. That's pretty good. What about you, Elena? What is your favorite project so far?
My favorite project was Build a Community.
Build a Community. What was that?
So we would get in groups of three or more.
Okay.
And we would put ideas together, like where we would, like hypothetically, where would we have the community? What would the community name be? How would we like use our natural resources? And yeah.
I see. So you were kind of like planning out a whole community. That's kind of cool. Yeah. What was your favorite part about the community that you imagined?
My favorite part was for my community, we were like floating islands, like on water.
Ooh.
And I think I really liked the idea that like the islands would like float with the waves to like other islands so we could like trade.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that. That's really cool. Awesome. Okay, Adea, what about you? What was your favorite project so far?
Reader's Theater with Ancient Greece.
Wait, say that one more time. You did theater?
Reader's Theater.
Reader's Theater. Okay. Yeah, with Ancient Greece. What did you read? Do you remember?
We're all choosing a god or goddess.
Yeah.
And we read a book with a story about that god or goddess.
Ah, okay.
And then we turn it into a story.
Oh.
And we read it out loud without any props.
What?
Costumes.
That was cool. That had to be fun.
Yeah.
Did you all do that too?
Yeah.
Wow, I love the theater. You know that. That's pretty fun. Awesome. So now this TCLL program, which we went over a couple weeks ago when that we talked about the optional programs, people can sign up for this. You just go to junoschools.org. There is a, what do they call that? Not a raffle. There's a lottery system. If you want to get your kiddo involved. And Renee, remind us, what's the earliest somebody can get into the TCLL program?
Yeah, it's a K-8 program.
K-8. So you can start in kindergarten and now go all the way through eighth grade. And it's really amazing. How long have you been in the program, Elena?
Since the middle of my fourth grade year.
Wow. Okay. What about you, Ty?
I've been there since kindergarten.
What? You've been there the whole time?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I love that. What about you, Adea?
I started in the middle of my third grade.
Third grade. Okay, so you all have been in this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all pals, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
We're all pals.
Pals, yeah. Friends, yeah. Friends. That's so good. Now, I know that obviously you do... schoolwork throughout the day and you're learning Thlinkit throughout the day. There's different things that happen, but you're also having the opportunity to work with elders, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Who wants to start? Maybe Adea. We'll start this side.
Our elders teach us many things and they also watch us during our Monday morning meetings.
Ooh.
Where we dance and practice for celebration.
Oh, yeah. Are you all going to be at celebration this year?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a dance group?
It's our whole program.
Right? It's going to be your whole program.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Did you do it a couple years ago, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. What about you, Ty? What's your favorite thing that you've learned from an elder?
Is you be kind, and we... get to learn a lot of Thlinkit.
Nice. Okay. And what about you, Elena? Yeah, go ahead.
If you can't say it in front of or to an elder, you shouldn't be saying it to other people.
Ooh, ooh, that's a good one. I like that. That's a good one. You know, there's that thing that people say that, you know, how your character, you as a person, your character is another way of thinking of that is, I've always thought of this, is the character is made up of the choices you make when you're alone. Like, that's a really interesting one, like the choices that you make when you're alone. But that's also good. If you wouldn't say it to an elder, maybe think about not saying it at all. Okay, so we are speaking about Tlingit, and you learn the language. I'm really curious, like, what's your favorite thing, Elena, that you've learned in Tlingit so far? If there's a phrase or a word, or what's your favorite bit?
I like Ixichan. It means I love you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. There's a song. Yeah, we have the Air Chest as a song called that, I believe. Yeah, I love it. What about you, Ty?
As we get to do some dancing, and we also made a town.
Uskiani?
Yeah, Uskiani.
And Uskiani.
We made paper dolls of ourselves.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. And what about you, Adea? What's your favorite Tlingit?
I was going to say Uskiani, but another thing is practicing in our classrooms while all of our, every Monday during our Tlingit time in middle school,
yeah,
we practice songs.
Oh, okay.
For celebration more.
Songs, and you're doing those in Tlingit, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice, okay. Now, I'm curious, like, following up with that, as you're learning the language, do you find yourself using phrases in your everyday life, Elena? Like, which phrases do you use in Tlingit in your everyday life?
Sometimes I'll ask my mom, which means what is the time?
Mm.
Or I'll ask her, which is, can you get me some water?
I like that. What about you, Ty?
I say to my mom. That means good morning
and aww.
Hi.
Oh, that's so nice. That's a nice one. What about you, Adea? What do you find you use in your everyday life?
Let's
see. You use a lot, I think. So you're trying to
yeah.
pick one.
Yeah.
I can tell you use a lot. I'm just trying to figure out. Well, give me a couple of them. You don't have to pick a favorite. Just pick what do you find you use on the daily?
I can't pick one.
Okay.
Because I use a lot.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah.
Even at home.
Yeah, you use a lot with your parents and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's really cool. All right, and then so tell me, we're talking to students from the Tlingit language, Tlingit Culture Language and Literacy Program. It's housed over in Harborview, and mm-hmm. it is something that you can get your kiddos involved in. I think registration's like ongoing. There is a lottery system, as we've mentioned. You have to go to junoschools.org, register for that lottery. It's just one of the many optional programs that are available in Juno. And it goes from K through kindergarten through all the way through eighth grade now, which is just fantastic. So you talked about Mondays you do you do dance practice and you do some Tlingit language practice. But you also have these exploratory classes. And I think you mentioned some of those earlier maybe when you were trying to do some things. But what are some of the exploratory classes that you've enjoyed? I'll start with you, Ty, since I always start on the ends. I'm going to go to the middle this time.
Oh, I like band.
Okay, band. All right, what instrument do you like?
I play the flute.
The flute? Oh, that's pretty good. What about you, Elena?
I also play the flute.
You also play the flute.
My favorite exploratory is probably going to the ISB, the Indigenous Science Building.
Oh.
Because every week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, my group switches between, or the groups switch between, cooking and learning technology and stuff.
Yeah, that's a really cool building. I took a soup class there last fall. I had Jean Wu for the first time. We had it as a chili, and we also had it as a soup. That was really good. That was really fun. But I know also they're doing podcasts there, and there's all kinds of cool stuff going on in that building. That's really cool. And what about you, Adea? What's your favorite exploratory class?
Same as Elena, the Indigenous Science Building.
Yeah.
As she said, we switch from cooking and podcasting. So there are two groups. One group starts off cooking on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And then on Thursdays, we go to the podcasting room.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really fun. Well, you're kind of getting experience here. This is kind of like podcasting, but it's live.
Yeah.
It's live. No editing allowed. No, just kidding. Okay, so then we'd mentioned that you're all going into eighth grade next year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really curious, like, is that going to be exciting for you? What are you looking forward to most in eighth grade, Adea? Getting to ninth grade?
No.
No, what are you looking forward to?
A trip to Huna because last year Miss Renee started a tradition where she takes the eighth graders to Huna to go ziplining.
Oh, wow. That's really fun.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be an annual thing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay, what about you, Ty? What are you looking forward to next year?
I'm also excited to go to Huna next year.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Huna, either of you?
Yeah.
You have? Okay,
all,
so you...
All three of us.
Oh, all three of you have gone. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Elena's thinking about her answer to the next question. What are you looking forward to next year, Elena?
To go to the Capitol, like, because I kind of want to wear a suit. So much fun.
Oh, you're going to wear... You get to go to the Capitol building?
Yeah.
And do you guys go and meet with, like, I don't know, state representatives and stuff and speak, like, Tlingit and all that? Or what do you talk about?
We exactly don't know.
You don't know? Okay, that's good. Maybe you do a little dance and a song? I don't know. Probably something, right, Renee?
It's organized by the Women's League of Voters.
Oh, and
they do it
I
with
see.
All eighth graders. It's a very wonderful experience.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes.
That's awesome. No phones allowed while we're in the studio.
Or at school.
That's all good. But this is a wonderful program. It sounds like it's a really cool thing. I have time for one last question here before we got to go. So when you start the year, what happens at the beginning of the year to sort of build community? How do you guys all connect? I mean, some of you have been in the program for so long, you're already there, right?
Yeah.
But, so... Who wants to answer that question before we gotta go? You do, Elena? Okay, tell me.
Yeah. So it's around the beginning of the year. We the middle schoolers will go to Methodist camp and stay the night there.
Oh.
And we'll start like preparing like a soup for the next day, and the rest of the school will come and we'll come and eat lunch together and we'll have fun.
That sounds awesome. What a great program. Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program. It's available as an optional program through the Juneau School District. You can go to junoschools.org for more information. I want to say gunuth cheese to you for coming in today. Thank you so much for sharing with us about this program. You all were amazing. Elena, Ty, and Adea, and thank you, Renee, in the back. Gunuth cheese.
Gunuth cheese.
Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, the UAS Literary Journal title Echoes launches. Very soon we'll talk with them. Plus, the Scouting America group is sponsoring a food drive. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent, and programming support comes from listeners and viewers like you. Plus, Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunuth cheese. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Juno evening.